Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, March 24th, day 14 of 9/11 on trial, and this is Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We got something today called a street report from John and Dorothy down in Houston, Texas. I'm going to very briefly read what they had to say. They said, "Hi, Victor and Lisa. Just a short story here from Houston, Texas. While down at a local corner store today, a store which I describe as one of the most improbable places on the planet one would ever expect to hear anything about 9/11, the store manager unexpectedly came out and said, 'Do you know how many people now think the government was involved in 9/11? It totally blew me away. So just thought you guys might like to hear that 9/11 is in the thoughts and on the lips of everyday average Americans. John and Dorothy.'" This is exactly what we're trying to do here with 9/11 on trial. And as John and Dorothy told us, it's working. People out there know the truth. So all of you out there, talk to your neighbors, the people you work with, your family members. Tell them that the truth is out there about 9/11, that the government pulled a huge, huge scam job on us.
Okay, today we're going to hear testimony from Witness 10 regarding trusses and bolts, and now let's join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Witness number 10, please state your name for the record.
Rachel Meads.
Today's testimony revolves around trusses and bolts. My first question, what is the biggest misrepresentation in FEMA's official report?
FEMA's report pretends the towers would instantly self-destruct if the floors fell away.
Okay. And how did FEMA go about doing this?
Well, the key to this deception is hiding the strength of the core structures.
Okay, before we look at the Twin Towers design, what is the government's official position on how the towers collapsed in regard to their flooring?
They say the perimeter and core columns would self-destruct if the floor diaphragms collapsed. As the floors collapsed, this left tall, freestanding portions of the exterior wall and possibly central core columns. As the unsupported height of these freestanding exterior walls increased, they buckled at the bolted column splice connections and also collapsed.
Were there any other theories promoted by the government?
Yes. Materials science professor Thomas Eager advanced what is called the zipper theory.
What is the zipper theory?
Once you started to get angle clips, his misnomer for the steel shelves that supported the ends of the trusses, to fail, it put an extra load on the other angle clips, and then it unzipped around the building on that floor in a matter of seconds.
Where can we find this theory?
In NOVA's documentary, Why the Towers Fell.
Okay. You mentioned the word deception earlier in reference to the FEMA report. What are some examples of these deceptions?
Well, first of all, in their representative floor plan, the core column cross-sections are shown about one-third their actual dimensions, and the cross-bracing core beams are not shown at all.
So the primary strength of these towers, their massive steel and concrete cores, has been dramatically reduced in size in these reports?
Yes.
I realize that I'm simplifying matters, but in the NOVA special, How the Towers Fell, their graphics seem to imply that each floor truss was attached to the outer columns by a single bolt, and when these bolts popped, the trusses fell and the outer columns began to buckle, leading to the tower's collapse. Is this actually how the towers were designed?
No. It's interesting to note the deceptive techniques used by NOVA and Thomas Eager on its website. Their animation shows the chain reaction of collapsing trusses. It doesn't show you several other things.
Such as?
One, there were perpendicular trusses interwoven with the trusses they show. They would have unified the entire structure, and you couldn't have had this chain reaction unzipping around the building. Two, they implied that the floors merely rested on the trusses, when in fact these trusses were bolted into the pans underlying the floor slabs every few inches. Also, you'll see that the core is depicted as a series of horizontal slabs, not as vertical columns. The spandrel plates that link the perimeter column are also omitted.
Please continue.
A number of sub-plaza stories have solid steel beams, rather than trusses, supporting the floor slabs between the core and perimeter walls.
How about the World Trade Center's flooring?
Well, the secret of the World Trade Center's ability to handle wind loading is composite flooring.
Please describe the difference between what the government and media told us about this flooring and its actual design.
The media coverage of the World Trade Center collapse portrayed the concrete slabs as just sitting on the bar joists, the trusses, and implied that these bar joists could fall away from the slabs if weakened by fire.
Okay. And that's not the case?
No. The floors were supported by an XY grid of vertical supports, not a single row of trusses as otherwise suggested. Also, the perimeter structures, the outside walls, and core structures were not freestanding.
Were they connected to each other?
The perimeter columns were linked by horizontal spandrel plates, and the core structure was a highly cross-linked structure that was easily capable of supporting itself and several times the weight of the entire building.
Yet FEMA tells us the towers would immediately fall if the floors fell away. Is that a true assessment?
No. The key deception is to represent the core as flimsy. And, as I said earlier, they do this by showing the columns at about a third of their dimensions. They don't show the cross-bracing beams either.
How does this actual makeup of the floor design relate to Thomas Eagar's zipper theory, which was mentioned earlier?
Eagar's zipper scenario is impossible, given the cross-trussing.
Okay, is there any other reason why the truss theory doesn't hold up?
There had to have been strong connections between the perimeter wall and the central core so that the wind load on the towers could be transmitted to the central core. Thus, there must have been strong steel girders connecting the perimeter wall to the central core, and not merely trusses.
Which means what?
Well, these girders would not have suffered catastrophic failure as a result of the impact of the fires.
In your opinion, then, what does the government's truss theory constitute?
The truss failure theory is just a diversion to avoid the glaring deficiencies of the column failure theory.
Can the truss theory adequately explain the World Trade Center's total annihilation?
Doesn't even begin to explain total collapse.
Very good. A previous witness testified that even if all the floors had collapsed, the core would still be standing. Is this accurate?
The domino effect collapse of the floor diaphragms would have left both the perimeter walls and the cores standing. The floors would have slid down the cores like records on a spindle.
So what we're getting at, then, is that the World Trade Center towers were not flimsy constructions, but were instead very strong. Is this a fair assessment?
The cores were extremely robust structures. They had 47 box columns, each a yard wide, fabricated of steel 4 inches thick near their bases. Plus, they were abundantly cross-braced and anchored directly into the bedrock.
And did they need the floors to support them?
They did not need the floor diaphragms for support.
Okay. Can any of the government's theories explain the total collapse of these towers?
None of the official theories can explain total collapses of any kind.
Why is that?
Well, take a close look at the manner in which the towers collapsed straight down. For these buildings to collapse in this fashion, all of the load-bearing supports on the ground floor would have had to fail at exactly the same time.
Could this happen by chance as a result of the fires, Ms. Mays?
No. The claim that the collapse was the result of a fire requires the fire to be equally distributed throughout the entire floor of the building, providing equal heat for an equal amount of time, so that all the load-bearing members would fail at exactly the same time.
Please elaborate on this.
Even if somehow the fires could have been as hot as Bazant and Zhao would like for their column failure theory, they still could not level the towers, because the towers had 287 columns, which all had to have been weakened to the point of collapse at the same instant to cause the vertical telescoping that we saw in the North Tower, or even in the South Tower.
Which brings us back once again to a concept we touched upon earlier. Does asymmetric damage produce symmetric results?
Asymmetric damage doesn't produce such a symmetric result.
Why?
Some of the columns would get hotter before others, and the tower would topple. It wouldn't collapse into itself.
All right. FEMA wants us to believe that the floors were held to the columns in only two places. Is this accurate?
No. The floors were grids of steel.
And it would have taken more than one or two bolts to pop out for a collapse?
In order for the floor to fall, hundreds of joints had to break almost simultaneously on 236 exterior columns and 47 core columns. FEMA doesn't bother to explain how this could happen.
Okay. Lastly, let's return to the heated and deformed bolts, which the NOVA special says led to the falling floors. Did heat from the fires melt the steel, causing the joints to fail?
No, because all the joints between the platter and the central columns would have had to have been heated at the same rate in order to collapse at the same time, and at the same rate as the joints with the outer rim columns on all sides.
And if they weren't all heated at the same rate and at the same time?
One side of the platter would fall, damaging the floor below and making obvious distortions in the skin of the building, or throwing the top of the tower off balance into one side.
Very good. Would there have been enough heat trapped inside the building to melt all of these hundreds and thousands of bolts at the same time?
No.
Why not?
Windows ran to the top of the full ceiling. Thus, the heat accumulation would have been relatively negligible given the open ventilation from the volume of broken windows, evidenced by the wind carrying the smoke away.
All right. Plus, as we have heard in earlier testimony, the fires were not significantly spreading to other floors. What does this mean in regard to the truss collapse theory, Miss Mays?
The heat could not have been universally distributed over an entire single floor, let alone over 10 floors. This is ludicrous to believe that the heat uniquely accumulated versus ventilated so as to disastrously diminish the strength of industrial steel in such a short period of time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Miss Mays. No further questions.